We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield IMG College, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. We resolve to help North Carolina stay healthy.
We're back. It's time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. Adam, do you have your passport ready for Iceland and or New Zealand?
Yes.
I think it's time to go. But not today, Adam. Not today. Because why would we ever want to miss a Friday?
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Weekend. Partying, partying. Partying, partying. Fun, 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 fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
Well, boy, we got a good show. And it's presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, reminding you to practice your three W's, wear, wait, and wash. Resolve to help keep North Carolina healthy. Tar Heels picked up a dub on Tuesday night, one of these nights.
That was the wait.
Yeah, that's right.
That was the wait dub.
So watch out, Clemson. It's wash time on Saturday. So Carolina picked up the win kind of improbably in Coral Gables, primarily due to the Tar Heels' own play. But they found a way to win. We're going to talk about it. Clemson coming into town tomorrow. We'll touch on the Tigers. Big football news with Tamon Fox announcing that he'll return. We'll talk a little bit about that decision and Carolina's defense next year. Plus, Adam, we've wrangled another one of these freshmen, all these youngsters. Had Walker Kessler on Tuesday, and we've got, I think, fair to say, our guy, Kerwin Walton, a.k.a. Muffin Top, a.k.a. Kerweenie, who will be joining us today.
Hard to find two more different personality types than Walker Kessler and Kerwin Walton. But I really like talking to both of them.
Yeah, I think you're really going to like Kerwin Walton. He is, as Walker Kessler was, in a little different way, pretty self-aware and funny, and we had a good time. And I got to tell you, Adam, once you've said Kerweenie, it's hard to not to. It's pretty fun to say.
I can't wait till tomorrow night when Kerweenie knocks in a big three during a big Tar Heel run, and you blow him up on the radio.
Oh, well, why don't we talk about that, Adam, before we get to the matchup with Miami. A reminder that we do not want you to let your outside chores or projects cause you to miss any of the Tar Heel game action. Good news, LS Tractor can help make short work of them. Normal yard maintenance, larger projects too. LS Tractor has the machine for you. What What, you may be saying, is the website that I can learn about LS Tractor? Well, you get to your keyboard, you put your fingers, get that forefinger on the J and the other one on the F, and then you use your ring finger to hit L on your right hand, then your other ring finger on your left hand to hit the letter S, then type out tractor, then USA.com to learn more. LS Tractor, what's it about for you?
When did you learn how to type?
Well, Adam, you're about to make my dad very happy. This is one of the badges of honor that he wears in his life, is that he told me, Adam, to take a typing class in high school. It was either 9th grade or 10th grade, and typing was one of the electives. And he said, you need to take typing because it's a skill that you will use for the rest of your life. And by golly, Adam, he was right.
Yeah.
And he will remind me about that anytime that I am near a keyboard and typing. He'll go, oh, you remember who told you to take that typing class? Yes, it was you.
Wow, this is going to make me sound old. My mom, very much the same way. She made me take typing in 7th grade at Apex Middle School. But at that point in time, it was called keyboarding. And also at that point in time, there were actual typewriters involved.
Oh, yeah. I think it may have been on a typewriter, Adam.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think there was still whiteout being used.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, part of this class was, like, how to properly address an like, you had to, mm-hmm. like, you weren't just learning the keys. Like, it was like, here's how you type out an address on an envelope, and you want to do it so that it's all centered and looks proper. These are definitely things that we're still worried about in 2021.
But that being said, of every class I took in middle school or high school,
yeah.
I'm maybe other than like an English class, I'm pretty sure I use the typing class more every single day. Like another elective I took was drafting. I don't use that one quite as much.
Right.
Not doing as many architectural things now as I was then.
Yeah.
But I bet I use my keyboarding skills every day.
Yeah. Number two for me was typing. Number one was my how to be awesome class. And so fortunately, they've both paid off big time.
I placed out of that.
Yeah. I was in no big deal. I was in AP how to be awesome. Okay. Tar Heels Miami on Tuesday night. And Adam, I got to say, I think it's one of the more improbable wins for Carolina recently, not necessarily because they were down so much. I mean, they were down 10 in the second half, but it was more just how bad Carolina looked offensively for a large majority of this game. And I even said it during the game action, talking to Eric. I said, you know, Carolina's only down whatever it was at the time, 8 or 9. So, but it feels much larger because the offense just didn't feel like it was capable of putting together a run well enough to overcome that deficit. But by golly, Adam, the Tar Heels close on a big run. I think the defense sparked some offense down the stretch, and I don't have the exact numbers, but you know, there were a couple. I know Miami only had one field goal in their last, I think it was like, I don't know, 7 minutes or something. And that was that very high degree of difficulty shot by Isaiah Wong to tie it in the final seconds. There were some blocked shots, some turnovers forced in there from Carolina in that stretch as well. That led to some transition, which was something that we just haven't seen the Tar Heels be able to do as consistently as normal up to this point in the season. Of course, Leaky Black, get on the train. As he told us, has been working hard on his shot, and we hadn't seen it pay off a ton on the court. There have been some games where he shot it well, but not consistently. But he had his best game offensively as a Tar Heel, hit some enormous three-pointers. Dayron Sharp, as he always is, was just a monster on the glass. Andrew Playtech with the big shot in the final seconds, and Carolina sneaks out of there with a win. And I do think that winning the Notre Dame game helped them win the Miami game, because I just think once you start winning, it leads to more winning. And so I think, was it pretty? Absolutely not. Did you leave that game going, man, the Tar Heels are skyrocketing to success? No, you didn't. But they won the game, which was the most important thing, and now they're going to get another chance coming up on Saturday.
winning leads to more winning, just like I think sometimes losing leads to more losing,
yes.
which is what happened to Carolina last year. And the Tar Heels have avoided that these last couple games, which I think is important. I think we have to acknowledge Carolina caught a break with Chris Likes not playing, because had he been in the game, likely the end of the game would have occurred differently. Don't know if the outcome would have been different, but certainly Miami would have had someone who would have been controlling the ball and trying to create their offense differently. So that was a good break. We've said since the beginning of the football season, the key is play the game and win the game. And Carolina played the game and won the game. And that enables them to have what feels like a pretty important game tomorrow night against Clemson, because now you've got a little momentum. Things, I don't think anyone on the Carolina side would say things are clicking perfectly right now, but somehow you figured out a way to win a couple, and now you can try to move towards getting everything to click, because it's not here yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I've said many times, got to just stay above water here and win some games while you figure it out. And I think the Tar Heels are continuing to figure it out and just win. Just win the game and then worry about getting better after that. And that's what I think the Tar Heels are doing. You know, I don't know if it will pay off in the long run. I hope it does. Caleb Love hit that three-pointer when Carolina was down four. And, you know, Caleb Love is a really talented player, and he has not played very well here as of late. I think really the entire season, but especially here as of late. You know, can that shot, and, you know, he had a big assist. He had a couple of steals late in the game too. You know, can that maybe just help him a little bit, because as Roy Williams said, he's just got to get better play from his point guards. I mean, Love and Davis were a combined 2 of 14 in the game, and, you know, R.J. Davis had 3 turnovers and Caleb Love had 4. So, I mean, 2 of 14 with 7 turnovers from your point guard spot is not good.
And somehow Carolina won.
And won. They won.
And I think big credit to the freshmen got Carolina to the point where they could win the game, and then the upperclassmen won it, because you had Leaky Black, as you said, making the big three. You had Garrison Brooks, who did not have a good game, but by golly, when Carolina needed him to step to the line and make 2 free throws, he did it. And let's be honest, what was your confidence level when he stepped to the line to take those 2 free throws? Because he had been struggling and was visibly frustrated. And I think it would have been very easy to step up there and clang the first one and then maybe make the second one. But he was tough enough to step up there and knock him in at a time Carolina had to have him. And I think that says a lot about his, forget about any element of his physical play, but his mental toughness to have been as down as he was in the second half of that game, and then be able to step up and make those shots, that was big. And then, of course, Andrew Platek at the end, I doubt it was on the Miami scouting report, hey, watch out for Platek driving baseline, but it was there, and he took it, and he scored, and it was a senior-type play. I thought it was interesting after the game when they asked him, you know, did you think Roy Williams might call a timeout then? He was like, no. That's not what we do in that situation. And then he went through all the scenarios. Well, here's where the Tar Heels do call timeout. Here's where they don't. Like, that's why you want a senior, because he's not looking over at the bench to see, oh, what does Roy Williams want me to do? He knows, just do it. And it pays off having veterans sometimes.
Well, and I thought it was interesting in hearing him discuss that final play after the game, how much had gone through his mind leading up on it. So, I mean, and I'm not going to do it 100% justice, but basically he said, you know, if he got the ball in the corner, that if his defender was doing X, he thought with the time on the clock, he was going to shoot it from the corner. But instead, his defender was, you know, kind of shading off on him to give him the baseline, and that he was going to try and take it. And that cross, I think 33, how he was defending Garrison Brooks allowed Platek to think that that space would be open down the baseline a little bit more. So, I mean, it's just interesting to be in the mind of, you know, all that's happening, obviously, very quickly, but someone who's played basketball for a long time and just sees those type of things in the game. And I think sometimes we think it's just, oh, Playtech got it and decided to do this. And no, he made a calculated choice on what the defense was doing, how much time was left on the clock. And again, goes to that veteran nature of someone who understands the game and had gone through those options should he get the ball in this important moment, which he did.
I thought his whole post game, I thought, was really good, which is no surprise if you listen to his interview on the pod last season, and we'll have him on again this season at some point and maybe talk about some of this stuff. But everything you just said, and then his comments about Garrison Brooks, I think the question was something like, were you surprised he knocked down those two free throws or something? He was like, no. And I think he said, like, G's our guy. And what we follow whatever he does, and I knew he was going to step up there and make them. And then also I thought what he said about Davis and Love and about everything they've had to deal with. And he said, you know, if I had had to play their minutes as an 18 or 19-year-old with their expectations, it would have been ugly. And so they're going to have some games like this, but they're really good and they'll figure it out. And it was just, as he was on the pod last year, just such a good perspective, not just a knee-jerk reaction to that exact moment, but just a broader look at the whole thing. And it's refreshing to get that sometimes. A little bit of a shame that Playtech's 22 years old or whatever he is, and he really has a better outlook on it than almost all the rest of us who are twice his age.
Leaky Black Adam, 16 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, a block, 6 for 9 shooting, 4 for 4 from 3 in a team high 35 minutes. I don't know what his defensive grade was, but he defended Isaiah Wong, who's Miami's best available player, and did a good job there. It felt like one of the better, and it's easy to say that because the shots went in, and we've talked about that I think a lot of times Leaky Black doesn't get the credit when he plays well because he doesn't often score a lot. Now, there's been some games where I think he would say, like the NC State game, where he didn't play very well. I just thought this was one of his better performances, obviously, when you're mixing in the threat offensively. Is he going to go 4 for 4 from 3 every game? Probably not, because nobody is. But if he can be a threat from 3-point range and continue to do all of the things that we know he can do rebounding-wise and defensively, all of a sudden you've got somebody that Roy Williams has long talked about as a really valuable and dynamic player because of his size and his skill set, if that shot can go in a little more consistently.
I thought it was interesting that when Carolina had one possession to win the game, it was Leaky Black who was in there at point guard.
Absolutely. I was going to say the same thing. And he made the right decision.
So I wonder if that's something that the Tar Heels might explore a little more, at least during this time period where Love and Davis are struggling to be playmakers. Maybe you stick the veteran out there in that spot until they can come along, which they will. But maybe for right now, he's the best option at making the other four guys better. I think the word you said with him is the key is consistency. He did it at Miami, and now you don't expect that every single game, but something closer to that level more consistently makes Carolina a lot better team.
So Carolina gets the win over Miami. Again, it was 67-65. Do you think Miami shot that last shot too early? I did.
Far too early.
Yeah, I mean, there was still like three. Honestly, I don't even remember who took it. But, I mean, there was 3 seconds or so left on the clock. Let me see who took the shot there for Miami. It was Harlan Beverly. I mean, that was a long shot, and it hit the rim.
Yeah, well, those whole final, say, 5-ish minutes or so was just pandemonium. I mean, missed calls. There was a blatant goaltend that wasn't called, in my uneducated opinion, on De'Ron Sharp. Not De'Ron Sharp shot it. Miami goaltended it, and the Carolina bench went bonkers.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if De'Ron Sharp is dropping the ball in the basket and the ball gets touched, that's goaltending. He's above the rim.
Yes.
There were reviews that didn't make a lot of sense. There were foul calls that honestly didn't make a lot of sense.
Well, I enjoyed how the fouls at one point, I think, were 8-2. And eventually everyone realized it was 8-2. And it ended up being a big play. That De'Ron Sharpe floater was probably a charge. And you could tell the officials wanted to call a charge. But then they're like, well, you know what? The fouls are really skewed towards Miami. We better call this a block. And that worked out fine for Carolina. It worked out great for Carolina. That's not right. But also, it shouldn't have been 8-2 at that point. It was a very physical second half, but the whistles were only calling on the physical side on Carolina's defensive end.
Well, and sorry, Brian Kersey, but there, on that De'Ron Sharpe play, two officials blew their whistle. Neither one made a call.
Yeah,
they just looked at each other.
Yeah.
And one of them was Michael Stevens, who is not in my AP top five of best officials in the
ACC. And he's called two. He called a national championship game in 16 and 17.
And I have absolutely no idea how. I want to see that grading sheet. I want to see that grading sheet because no.
Brian Kersey, bring us that sheet.
Yeah, this year when we do this by Zoom with you on the Friday before the ACC tournament or the Tuesday, I want to see that grading sheet. I don't see it. But on that play, two officials blow their whistle, and this is something we talked about with Brian Kersey. Neither one of them made a blocker charge. They just blew their whistle and looked at each other.
Yeah.
And then they both kind of started walking towards the table, like, who's going to pull the gun out of the holster first? And then finally, okay, block. If you blow the whistle, you shouldn't have to look at anybody else.
Right.
Because you blew the whistle, that means you saw a foul. What foul did you see? Call it. And that's not what happened. The whole, just the overall management of the game wasn't great. And Carolina didn't play well.
Right.
So it's not like the management of the game forced Carolina into some terrible effort. Carolina wasn't helping matters because it's not like anyone watching that game was like, wow, these Tar Heels are really crisp. I mean, they just sort of fumbled along as everyone else was doing. And everybody's got to get better.
But you know what, Adam? Tar Heels won the game.
Exactly.
It's all that matters. 67-65. All right, Clemson coming to town. And, of course, we know the long streak got broken last year on just a disappointing collapse by Carolina at the end of the game, which isn't really relevant to this game, Adam, other than I do think the weight of that streak weighed on Clemson. And so with it being over and it not being a hostile environment anyway because there's no fans, I don't think it being a road game for the Tigers matters. But here's what does matter. Clemson's good. Yeah, they're 9-1, and they have some good wins. You know, they've beaten Florida State by 10. They came back and beat NC State, who's playing well right now, beat them in overtime. They've beaten Alabama. They've beaten Maryland, beat Purdue. So, I mean, they have some quality wins, and I think if you took the body of work of all the teams in the ACC right now, they'd be in that top two or three as far as teams of how they've played and what they've been able to achieve on the court to this point.
It's clearly the best team Carolina's played in the ACC so far.
Yes.
And Carolina's going to have to play markedly better than what they played in beating Notre Dame and in what they played in beating Miami in order to be able to beat Clemson, because Clemson is tough defensively. One of the best defensive teams in the country as of right now. They've got a big guy who's good in Amir Sims and is playing even better than he did last year. They've got a transfer in Nick Honor who's been really good and is shooting the ball great from the outside. So you got the inside and you got the outside. Brad Brownell's a good coach. I mean, this is the best team Carolina's played in the ACC.
They're holding teams to just 39% from the field. And the Tar Heels hadn't exactly been lighting it up. It's been weird. It's been weird, Carolina's offense, because there was the time period in the first eight games or so where the Tar Heels they were making everything around the rim, or at least, you know, getting a lot of opportunities. And most of the time, it may not have been the first shot of the possession, but maybe by the fourth time that Baycott or Sharp tipped it up, it went in. But they couldn't make anything from the outside. Now, last three games, they've made eight threes, and nine threes, but they're shooting a crazy low percentage from two-point range. And it's all kinds of shots. It's mid-range jump shots. It's layups. Garrison Brooks missed an uncontested dunk. Da'Ron Sharpe, who, Adam, you've been around for a while, so you'll know the gravity of these words that Roy Williams spoke. When he said he thought Da'Ron Sharpe was the best rebounder he had had since Tyler Hansbrough, you know that that's a big-time statement. Anytime that Coach Williams says anybody's like Tyler Hansbrough, that's big. Plus, there's been some great rebounders, as we know from the five-second challenge, since Tyler. I mean, Bryce Johnson and Kennedy Meeks and Isaiah Hicks. And, I mean, there have been some great rebounders since Tyler left. Ed Davis, our friend. So to say that about Da'Ron Sharpe was big. And Da'Ron Sharpe, by the way, is unbelievable on the glass. I mean, he's unbelievable on the glass.
He got 16 rebounds against Miami, and I didn't even really feel like he was doing anything out of the ordinary for him. Nice 16 boards.
I don't even remember how I started this and get to the point that I often do when talking about the Tar Heels, and that's Da'Ron Sharpe is awesome because I love Da'Ron Sharpe. But the offense has been weird. It's like, and you said this, if Carolina could get the two-pointers to go in at the rate that they were going in for the first part of the year, and the three-pointers to go in, how they're going in now, well, now all of a sudden we have a team that's what we would expect a Carolina offense to look like and scoring 80 points a game instead of 60 points a game and being much more efficient at what they're doing because that has not been the case here as of late.
I think it'll be interesting to see how Armando Bacot comes back from the game at Miami because he wasn't very good
in
that
game. Well, that's two games in a row where he struggled to – because, and Roy Williams said this, he was Carolina's best player for the first eight games or so. But the last two games, he's really struggled.
And I think the Tar Heels need him. I mean, you kind of feel like, well, if you've got four big guys, you can afford for one of them to not be very good. But his shots are such that you expect them to go in. So because he takes them in such close proximity to the basket. So when you take him out of the equation, the rest of your two-point shots are a little higher degree of difficulty than the ones he's normally taking. And while Garrison Brooks is still trying to get back on track, you just need more of those. It really, the two-point shooting on Tuesday was just absolutely mystifying.
It really was.
Imagine that you had come down from space a month ago and said, well, the Tar Heels can win this game, but they just need to take more threes. You would have never believed that.
And I don't feel like, I mean, I'm not saying every shot is A-plus quality, but I also don't think Carolina's just chucking up crazy stuff all the time. It's just, you know, Garrison Brooks was 1-for-7 or something. Da'Ron Sharpe was 4-of-12. I mean, those are crazy numbers for those guys, considering the types of shots, for the most part, that they are taking.
And it's not like Miami is some stout interior defensive team.
That game was so weird. It was a weird game.
Yes.
But you know what? As we've said, the Tar Heels won the game. We're going to talk a little football, but first I'm going to tell you that we're brought to you by UNC Healthcare. And UNC Healthcare, dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds and to help keep you in the game and at your very best. See their lineup at unchealthcare.org/sports. So, Adam, big football news in Tamon Fox. As Mac Brown had said, Tamon Fox announcing that he is going to return, use that extra year of eligibility granted by the NCAA. So now, Adam, you're looking at Tamon Fox, Garrett Walston, Grayson Atkins, the kicker, Bo Corrales, Tyrone Hopper. Those are five guys who started for Carolina this year that are electing to use the extra year. And hard to see that as anything other than a positive. And, man, that Tar Heel defense, all of a sudden, I mean, you're bringing in a bunch of good, talented players. And not that one player in Tamon Fox makes all the difference here, but certainly adds to it, that you just, these guys don't have to play right away, but you can ease them into the season. And very similar to what we've seen, I think, the last 2 years from Carolina defensively. I'm guessing that those high-talent freshmen will play more and more and more and more as the year goes along. But what I think that Tamon Fox thing helps you with is that you're going to be pretty stable at the beginning of the year. And so it's not like we're going to be sitting here after game four going, gosh, if those freshmen could just get ready, I think this defense could be a lot better. I think the defense can be pretty good at the jump and then can get even better as those talented guys play more and get more comfortable.
I think it speaks to just to the program overall that all those players not only want to play another year of football, but want to play it in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, they could have gone somewhere else. They could have played another year, but transferred.
Tamon Fox would have been a very attractive transfer to utilize this extra year, but I think Mac Brown's created this environment that people want to be part of, and a lot of times by the time you get to your senior year, you're just kind of done and just ready for something different, and they're not. They want to do it again. It's something they want to continue to be part of, and I think that's when you get results like this that people want to continue to be a part of what you're doing.
And I'm sure we've said this before, love Tamon Fox. Just a good guy.
He's never been on the pod.
Yeah.
I think that's why he came back.
Yeah, he's been on back when we were able to do players on the radio show in person. He was on a couple of times and was always great, but I don't think we've had, Adam, this is year five of the pod. But I don't think we've had him on.
I don't think we have. We talked about him this year.
Tamon Fox, we're zeroing in on you, sir.
Yeah. And I think if you read his Instagram announcement that he made, it said, I would like to win a national championship with the Tar Heels. I would like to be on the Carolina Insider.
Yeah, like they're in tiny print at the bottom.
I want to sign the board.
Yeah.
I want to draw Jones and Adam because I'm an accomplished artist, as we know. and that's why he's coming back. So we will say it right now, Tamon Fox, you have earned the right to come on the Carolina Insider, sir.
Adam, anything else before we go to our interview with Kerwin Walton? I had to fight it, Adam.
I don't think so.
Okay. We had a lot of fun. By the way, and I say this all the time, we're getting back in our interviewing groove, Adam.
Yeah.
Not that we ever left it. Let's be honest. I mean, we left 2020 with Blukas, for goodness sakes. But, you know, we're starting to be able to have a few more in person. Everybody's masked. You might even be able to, Kerwin was a little muffled because he was masked. We're doing it safely. But we are able to socially distance in person and masked up. Even though, and Adam, I will say also, we've got some scheduled here in the near future that we're going to be doing via Zoom and the like. We're just humming right now, Adam.
Well, I think you've got to be able to self-scout. And I think what we know that we are the best at is when the folks are here in person.
Absolutely.
That's when we're at our best. I don't know why that is, but I don't have to know. I just have to look at the stats. And the stats tell me that we're better when they're here in person. And Kerwin Walton was here in person, and we enjoyed it.
All right. We're going to talk to... God, I wanted to say it so bad. I'm just going to say it, Kerwini. Let's get to our interview with Kerwin Walton. Come back. We have a, do you have a list, Adam? I bet you do.
It's a little Sebastian list.
Oh, what an early year treat that will be. So we've got that coming up after we talk to Kerwin Walton here on the Carolina Insider.
Our guest today is Kerwin Walton. And he has been a subject on the pod since back during the summer.
Oh, yeah. I already got a lot of questions for Kerwin just bubbling in my mind.
I mean, I'm sure he listens to every episode.
Yeah,
so he probably already knows we've been talking about. But from way back this summer when Leaky Black started talking about his shooting and just throwing out some crazy numbers about his marksmanship. So, Kerwin, right off the top, we need to get this settled. What is the official Kerwin Walton record for most consecutive three-pointers and most consecutive free throws?
Well, I know for free throws, it was like at least about like 130-something. I don't know about three-pointers, though. I haven't even kept track of that. I just be shooting the ball when I practice.
Okay, so let us tell you what Leaky said. Leaky was talking about, we had asked Leaky about to kind of go through the freshman, you know, tell us about, and he said, man, I saw Kerwin. Kerwin made 150 straight three-pointers. And we were like, whoa, wait a second. Now, that seems like a lot. And so what we think happened is Leaky meant free throws, but he said three-pointers. Right, Adam? Don't we feel?
Well, but now having seen Kerwin shoot.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe it was 100.
I could maybe buy 150 three-pointers.
Yeah, I mean, like, I made a lot of three-pointers, you know, when I practice, but Hey, I mean, I'm a machine, so you know, people don't think I'm a human. So I don't really have blood. I just run off of oil.
Hey, that's good. See, Kerwin already recognizes it. Kerwin, what's going on, man? How you doing? Just take us through kind of where your head's at right now, season, just everything about being Kerwin Walton right now. How's things going?
I think everything's going great. You know, just I'm having a lot of fun here, just enjoying myself, especially with my teammates and coaches. You know, I've been having a real blast over the last few months, especially ever since the season started. And I'm just really excited that we're starting to get the ball rolling in terms of winning, and we're starting to figure each other out and being able to know what we got to do in order to win and down the road, because we're really focused on March and just being a good enough team to hopefully win it all, and that's the main goal.
If I had told you 12 months ago, or maybe even 6 months ago, that come early January you're going to be the starting two guard at the University of North Carolina, what would you have thought?
I mean, I think it was possible, but you know, I didn't know when or what, but I knew my time would come eventually. I didn't know how soon or if it was going to be later or not. But, you know, whenever the moment came, I knew I was going to be prepared for it, because that's all I've been doing, is just preparing and trying to get better every single day.
How cold does it get in Hopkins, Minnesota?
When I visited back for Christmas, it was at least like -3 when I came back. And the crazy part was, it wasn't even snowing, because like on the ground it was perfect. I was so surprised. It was like 40. And then like all it took was like 3 hours later, and it was like at least 4 or 5 inches of snow. Just
it knew you were back.
Yeah.
Do you have to have like a different kind of coat for that kind of cold? Like, I think I have a winter coat, but it's like a North Carolina winter coat.
Yeah.
Is a Hopkins, Minnesota winter coat different?
I usually wear like a sweater and then a coat. I always wear at least 2 layers.
Sensible from Kerwin.
Yeah. Other than that, you'll just be seeing me dart outside. if I got anything less than that, I'll just be running.
That's a veteran play. That's a smart move. You talked about things starting to come together a little bit, at least with the results, which is good to see. So take us through, because it feels like for you that breakout game was the Kentucky game. Take us through kind of how things played out in that game, and if that has helped you confidence-wise with what's happening on the court.
Yeah, well, my teammates kept on telling me that every single day and after every game that they want me to shoot the ball, because they know that's like the best thing I do, and that I need to be looking for my shot more, especially when I'm open, because them and the coaches noticed I passed up a little bit too many shots. So then I was just trying to look for, you know, what's the best shot and, you know, good shots for me, shots that I know I can knock down. So, I mean, after that, I mean, that was just, like, instinct, you know. After that, I started catching the ball. As soon as I get a clean look at the rim, I just put it up. And they all went in. So, I guess I helped out the team and did my job. That's all I really cared about.
What's that like as a shooter to have everybody tell you, hey, we want you to shoot more?
Shoot more, Kerwin.
I mean, yeah, I like it. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would love to hear that from a coach, and especially in the teammates, too. But, you know, I'm just trying to get, you know, it's just a matter of just being comfortable. You know, I'm starting to get a lot more comfortable. You know, that's I'm starting to shoot a little bit more. You know, even though my coach is still telling me I'm still passing up too many shots, especially my teammates still telling me I'm passing up too many open looks. So really just a matter of just me getting more and more comfortable, and I'm definitely starting to get there.
What has this, from a player perspective, it's been such a weird season. What has it been like kind of going through it? What are some of the weird challenges that you're having to deal with and your teammates are having to deal with just everything going on?
Well, the fact that there's, well, no fans, you can hardly hang out with other friends and stuff. You know, we're kind of like in our own bubble. You know, it's kind of crazy because we just be seeing just us all the time, every single day. You know, we don't really get to interact with, you know, everybody else that much. Even we don't even get to go home for that long either. I mean, we was only home for Christmas for about 3 days. So, you know, it's just everything's kind of tight. You know, it's hard, especially it's hard to get energy, especially coming out front, like at the gates when there's no fans. So
yeah.
it's just everything's all weird. So it's kind of hard to get the, you know, especially for the freshmen, just to get the normal college experience. But, you know, we're working around it.
All right. We had Walker Kessler in here the other day, and I asked him the same question. Do you feel like almost cheated a little bit that you haven't been able to have that part of the experience? Like, you know, you're playing in the Smith Center, but nobody's there, and you're going on the road, but it's not a crazy environment. Do you feel, like, bummed out by that?
I mean, yeah, because, I mean, I know a lot of people been telling me about that experience, especially the North Carolina experience in particular, just how, like, just running out that tunnel, you see, like, like 20-some thousand people just yelling and screaming and cheering you on, and how just like that great that feeling is, just being a Tar Heel in general, especially just with the crazy fan base. I mean, it's definitely a feeling that I was most excited for coming in. And just like even going to opposing crowds, just shutting up their crowd. I mean, that's something that I love doing, just like shutting up in another team's crowd.
Sure.
But yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's not really much we can do about it. So we kind of have to get that energy and all that passion from ourselves.
Coach Williams has talked a lot about your defensive improvement and the strides you've made and still need to make. What do you feel like you've done better defensively, and where do you still have room to get better?
I think I've gotten better defensively, just like on the ball and just like seeing like the bigger picture a little bit. But that's definitely some part of my game and that I want to improve on the defensive end, just being able to read and anticipate what's going to happen next and being able to help out everybody else and help the helper and just being able to read passing angles. Just something I feel like I get a lot more steals. I feel like I've been missing a little bit too many opportunities in the past few games, and that's definitely something I want to capitalize on.
Coach Williams, not real high on the overall team's defensive performance against NC State. What was bad in that game that you feel like can easily get better as we move on through the ACC season?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of things bad in that game. I mean, that's probably everybody's worst defensive game of the year by far. I think just the fact that – just like the energy and effort. I mean, most of our mistakes were a lot of energy and effort, and then other ones was just like – mental mistakes, just not being in the right spot or just like not seeing the right picture. But most of the time it was really just our energy and effort. You know, we could have got a few loose balls, we could have hustled more, we missed a bunch of box outs. I mean, it was just those type of things that made our defensive grades really bad that game, but we're definitely trying to make sure that never happens again.
So Kerwin, you've got like this, I told Adam this the other day, that when I heard you talk for the first time, I was like, whoa, that voice, and that voice didn't sound like what I thought it was going to sound like from Curl. You got like this big, deep voice. When'd you get the big like radio voice that you got?
I don't even know.
You sing at all, Curl? You got anything going there?
I feel like I've always just talked normally, just like this. I don't know. It's just my voice.
Okay, let's address an important topic. My youngest son, I think he got it from Theo Pinson on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And
Kerwin already knows where you're going.
So in our family group chat, our son has taken full credit, and I'm going to read you what he said just to make sure I get it right. He says, since I started calling Kerwin Muffin Top in the group chat, he has shot 11 for 16. So he is taking credit for this by virtue of the Muffin Top name. Where does that come from, and is that something that you like?
I mean, I love it. You know, it's the first time I heard Muffin Top, but I mean, it's definitely a long time since I heard Muffin Top. But, you know.
What does that mean?
Hey, man, I guess I got a Muffin Top. I don't know what to say. You know, a lot of people say that my superpowers come from my Muffin Top, so I plan to keep it for a while.
Yeah, do not cut your hair. So what about Kerweenie? Where does that one go?
I heard that for like almost my whole life. I don't remember the time I wasn't called Kerweenie. Since like middle school, I think, you know, that's the first time people started calling me that. And then after that, it was just a thing for like years. And I mean, these guys, they call me, I feel like they almost forget my normal name. I mean,
so was that like did it start like family or friends? Like where did it get started?
Oh, it was friends, for sure, friends. They just started calling me that, and everybody hopped on that. I don't think anybody in my family calls me that, just my friends.
Kids are jerks, huh?
That's all right, yeah. It stuck. Now Kerwin's embraced it.
So yeah. Would you prefer Kerweenie or Muffin Top?
Ooh, this is a big question.
Shoot, I mean, I don't know. I mean, shoot, I like them both. I adapted to them both now. I mean, whenever they say either or, I raise my head. I know who they're talking to.
That's like Garrison. Garrison can be both Little Gerb and Mr. Pickle. He can be both nicknames, and both are acceptable.
Did you know that Garrison really likes being called Little Gerb?
No, I have no. I did not know that at all.
Yeah, he does. Kobe White gave him that name, and he loves it. So you should definitely call him that every time that you see him.
Oh, I'm going to keep that in mind.
Now, what's the situation with your cookie-making ability?
Oh, yeah. I made Christmas cookies like a few weeks back with Puff and one of the managers, Robbie. Yeah, it took like, I mean, that took like 6 hours at least. I was tired. My back was hurting. But hey, I mean, at least I get to eat a bunch of cookies, though. That was my motivation.
Yeah, Kerwin go out there and play a basketball game. He feels fine. He's like, oh, man, my back, these cookies. It's too much, guys.
I wonder if there's a connection between the muffin top and the cookies. Somewhere Jonas is tapping his forehead knowingly.
All right, Kerwin, in your official bio, it says that you're excellent at badminton.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I played a lot of that back in high school, and gym, especially in gym class. I was running everybody.
Well, how did you get good at badminton?
I don't even know. It was just natural for me. I just swung it, and I just knew I was cold. Mm. I was just hitting it.
How do you even develop this skill? Like, who's the second best badminton player in Hopkins, Minnesota?
I have no idea, but
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it don't matter. I'm like top two and not two. I just know everybody in my school that I played against, I beat.
Okay, how does one learn to shoot like Kerwin Walton? Like, how have you gotten so efficient? And then I want to ask you a second question. So your rotation on the ball isn't what I would call a regular rotation on the ball. You got a little bit of a different spin. How did that come about, and how did you perfect it?
Well, I started becoming a shooter back in like seventh grade, where, you know, my dad challenged me to make 10,000 threes in like 2 weeks.
Wow!
So it was like, you know, a whole bunch of shooting and a whole bunch of, like, especially form shooting, just working on my shooting form. You know, I didn't really start off shooting threes necessarily. I was mostly focused on doing form shooting, so close to the basket stuff. And then that's when it hit me with the challenge of the 10,000 threes. But the spinning on the ball, I actually never knew, like, why I did that. I mean, even before I left to come to North Carolina, like, my dad was, like, trying to figure out why I do that. And we couldn't really tell why. So we just, like, okay, let's just perfect it. Let's just make sure we shoot the same thing, same shot every time. Because that's the most important thing when shooting, like, just being able to shoot the exact same way every single time. Because, you know, because once you start shooting in different ways, that's when your shot is all over the place.
Yeah.
I think we should just leave the spin just the way.
Yeah, leave it.
I think it's fine. Did you have to chart the 10,000 threes? Like, did you have a sheet of notebook paper and you're, like, marking them down?
Yeah, because, well, like, every single day I'll be like, all right, today I'm going to get, like, 500 in. Or the next day, all right, I'm going to get, like, 1,000. And then the next day I'll probably get, like, maybe 800 or something like that. I'll keep track of how many threes I've done made, and just try to make sure I'm in that time frame, that 2 week time frame of making all those threes.
So it was makes, it wasn't attempts.
Yeah, it was makes.
You and your dad seem to have a pretty close relationship. Is that a fair statement?
Oh yeah, for sure.
What role does he play in your life?
Oh, a huge one. I mean, especially like a father. You know, he's like a big guy for me. Like, you know, he's just he's special because, like, he made me in terms of, like, my basketball. Like, he trained me my whole life, and he's pretty much made me who I am today, along with my mother. He's definitely worked, like, a lot. Probably I could say he worked a lot harder than me in terms of providing for me in terms of working me out, and looking for different ways that he can improve, help my game improve. But he's definitely been a big part of my life.
What made you want to leave Minnesota and come to Chapel Hill?
I just thought I love the culture, definitely. I thought it was similar to my high school. You know, it was like a winning culture. Everyone, like, you know, you're always expected to be good and you're always expected to win everything. I love the coaches and I love the players. I love how they play the game of basketball. I love their history a lot, and just, like, all the great guys who came through North Carolina. And, you know, put that, you know, the baby blue on and represent it. I mean, that's something special, especially just, like, not having that feeling of winning the national championship. Yeah, that's something I definitely want to experience.
So this is a pretty big freshman class, of course, and you guys are all getting a lot of run and needing to play a lot. How have you, that group of freshmen, how have you guys tried to get to know each other and gel a little bit as you've gone through this process together?
Yeah, I mean, we've been with each other for a very long time now. I mean, we're pretty much only around each other. You know, we don't get to see anybody else, really. But, yeah, definitely our relationship is really good. You know, we like a team that really likes each other. I mean, we definitely have a good connection with each other, and I think that's definitely going to help us.
So Caleb and RJ right now probably not seeing the ball go in as much as they want to or that they are capable of doing. As a teammate, do you say anything to them, or do you just let them
kind of work it out with the coaches? How do you try to support guys who are clearly struggling a little bit, even though that the level of ability is much higher?
Well, yeah, I mean they know just as much as I know that, you know, it's gonna come. Their time is definitely gonna come. You know, there's gonna be days where you're gonna go through slumps. You might miss some shots, but I've seen them hit a bunch of shots before, especially in practice. So I know they can shoot, and it might not be falling right now in the games, but it's definitely gonna fall down the road because I know how good they are.
Now, that was some very mature response about your freshman classmates, but we've given you a little bit of a hard time. What can you tell us about some of the other freshmen that when they're sitting in the hot seat like you are, we can ask them and hit them with something they don't expect?
I like any questions?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or like something people don't know about RJ or Caleb or Walker or whoever.
Man, that's a tough one, man. I don't know.
See, Kerwin's too good a teammate to throw him under the bus like that.
Whereas they were quick to toss you under the bus.
Oh, man. I'm already knowing, man. They got too much on me already. I don't really got much on them, like, in terms of, like, what I can do for them. Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one.
Or you got to think about this and get back to us then. You got to get back to us with some dirt that we can get on them here soon.
Which of your freshman classmates would you least want to be roommates with?
Ooh.
Least want to be roommates with? I'm trying to think who's, like, the dirtiest guy.
I get the feeling you're pretty clean.
Oh, yeah, I know I'm clean. I can't be super – my mom made me that way, too. I mean
– Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it, like, to Kenny Williams level? Like, people used to give Kenny Williams a hard time because he was, like, OCD about it. Are you that clean?
I don't know if I'm that clean, but I'm definitely neat. Like, it won't be nasty. I'd probably say Dayron just because he seems like the guy who just always, like, just talk mess, like, you know, yeah. Like he'll just always try trash talk. But I remember we was playing a shooting game. We was playing this game. It was called Around the World. So we got to, like, you know, who makes the most threes, like, in all the five spots and whatever. And he beat me and, like, I was partners with Puff, and he beat me and Puff. But, like, I didn't even get to I didn't even get a chance to, like, go because Puff was shooting first. Mm. So they ended up beating us and stuff, and he just went around and told the whole team, like, that's why I beat Curl. I'm like, you ain't beat me. You beat Puff. And then in the second game, you know, I had, like, a manager on my team, and I didn't shoot first, and he shot first. And I didn't even get a chance to shoot, and now he thinks he beat me. But, I mean, no, you beat a manager. And you beat Puff Johnson. You didn't.
I think the problem here is, Kerwin, you got to shoot first.
Yeah.
We got to set Kerwin up in the leadoff spot and around the world.
Well, I think that's bad strategy. If I'm partners with Kerwin and we're playing a shooting game, Kerwin's going first.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll stand on the sidelines and say, nice shot, buddy.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, if I come back, then it makes me look even better. that's the whole thing. That's why I just be trying to, like, you know, if I'm down, if I'm, like, you know, it's like I'm down 20, you know, and they put me in, I'm going to just shoot us back in the game, you know. That's how I like to feel.
So is that a team-issued sweatshirt, or is that just a Kerwin Walton sweatshirt? Because you got the Walton on the shoulder.
Oh, yeah, this is my high school warm-up sweater.
Okay.
I
was just going to be impressed that if you didn't have, like, a team-issue thing, you just got your name right there on the shoulder. That was big time.
Yeah.
I think one of the tricky parts, well, there's a lot of tricky parts about this year, but you guys, there hadn't been many breaks. I mean, it's been Texas and Stanford and Iowa and ACC play. And when you're going against such high quality competition every single time, like, how difficult is that to not have some of those games that in a normal year you might have where the Tar Heels would be heavily favored?
Yeah, I mean, but I like it, though, like, just all the games, you're just playing a whole lot. You know, I'm sure everybody else also likes it, too, because, you know, I'm sure a lot of people in the world would agree that they like to practice, they like to play more than they like to practice. But, I think it's really cool that we play in a lot of games. You know, that's definitely something I'm really excited about. But, I mean, it does get a little hectic, though, because, like, you know, I think it's especially for the coaches that they have to scout at last minute.
Yep.
And figure out who we got to play, you know, if we got – Like we can just, like, out of nowhere, just boom, 2 days, we got to play a game, and we don't even know about it until, like, the day after.
Does that make a difference for a player to be like, oh, hey, guys, by the way, we thought we were playing Ohio State, but now you're playing Kentucky? Like, does that matter to you guys at all?
Well, I mean, it really shouldn't, just because, I mean, at the end of the day, we just got to show up and play. We just got to show up and, you know, be who we are and bring our best all the time. But, you know, I think the main way it would hurt us just a little was, like, just knowing the personnel, just scouting and all that. I mean, that's it. I mean, I feel like it's probably more of a coach's problem than a player problem, because, I mean, the players, they're just supposed to show up and play hard and just win the game. And, I mean, that's something that we're, that's our job.
You've talked a little bit about working with Hubert Davis, who's one of the best shooters Carolina's ever had. What do you feel like he's taught you about shooting the ball, and what do you like about getting instruction from him as far as shooting goes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been great. You know, I've especially been working out with him a little bit, especially in the beginning of the season. He's just telling me, you know, he gave me a lot of pointers. You know, we worked on a lot about just dribble pull-ups and just shooting off the bounce, catching it, running off of screens and catching the ball and shooting it. I mean, yeah, he's definitely – he said, you know, he likes my shot mechanics, and he thinks I should always stick with it and always make sure I'm shooting the same way every single time and just being aggressive with it. You know, if I get a good look, just take the shot.
Do you care as far as would you rather catch and shoot or shoot off the dribble? Does it matter to you?
No, not really. I just care about making the shot. You know,
yeah.
I just want to get the points and hopefully help our team out with it. You know, that's really all I care about, just making the shots.
You're comfortable with both?
Yeah, I'm real comfortable with both.
All right, what do you like to do away from basketball other than badminton, as we know?
And cookies.
And cookies.
Video games, a whole lot of video games.
All right, what's your best, and who's the best on the team, in your opinion?
Best, I think Call of Duty. That's the main thing I play. I don't know who – I can't really – I'm the only one, like, with the Xbox, so it's hard for me to play against these other guys, but – you know, I heard Dayron always talking about how cold he is. I never played him yet.
Sounds like Dayron likes to tell people how good he is at things.
Yeah, I already told you, man. He's he's that guy. But, yeah, I mean, I used to play a whole lot of 2K, but that game just made me so mad I stopped playing after, like, I don't even remember, like 17 maybe.
Yep.
Yeah, I stopped, yeah.
Why'd it make you mad?
It's so dumb. I mean, you got Steph Curry missing open shots, and you got like, and even if my players are stupid, I mean, they can't. I mean, I'm a way better free throw shooter than my guy, and I don't like the grind. That grind is too much.
Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I think Call of Duty, though, that's like my main thing.
Now, are you on Twitch?
No.
No big deal. I did a 5.5-hour Twitch stream last night, Kerwin. No big deal. I don't want you to be super impressed by that, but I did that last night.
Now, we have established that Dayron talks a lot. I feel like Armando talks a lot.
Ooh, yeah.
If Dayron and Armando went head-to-head in a trash-talking contest, who do you think would emerge victorious?
Oh, man, I don't know, but that sounds like it'll be the funniest thing I'll ever see, though. That'll be hilarious. I mean, I'd love to see it. I mean, they kind of do go back and forth a little bit every now and then, but, yeah. I mean, that'll be funny. I think, yeah, because it's like Dayron, he'll trash talk, and then Amanda would just say something, like, dumb and funny. I don't know. I think that'll be great to watch, though. I'd love to see that.
Do you get in the middle of that? Or are you willing to mix it up with them talking on the court, or would you rather just watch from afar?
No, I like to watch. I mean, I just like to laugh. Watch and laugh, bro. I don't want to, because if I jump in, somebody might try to come at me. I don't know.
Kerwin's the silent assassin. I can already tell. He's he's already said he's a machine out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, Kerwin, before we let you go, just take us through what's important now in your mind over the next few weeks for you, for the team, just as you continue to go through here ACC play.
Right now, what's important is that as a team, we get better, and individually, we all get better. Just working on our game, you know, individually and as a team. Improving our defense, making more shots, you know, being able to pass the ball into the post and the post being able to finish. I mean, those are the main things that we're just going to work on, especially, like, mostly our emphasis right now is our defense. I feel like we're giving up a lot of too many good open looks, so that's definitely going to be a big emphasis going forward.
Let me ask you one more thing before I let you go. Offensively, at times, it's been a struggle, and at other times, it looked really good. I'm talking about the team, not you individually.
Yeah.
What do you think – how can that smooth out a little bit, in your opinion?
Well, if we just – I feel like it's just more of like a flow thing and just being able to, you know, make the right cuts and all the timing to get a lot better and just everybody be able to make things, you know, run the plays harder and harder.
Sure.
And just being able to run on in transition, I think those things will, like, really help us, you know, just our offense to flow a little bit better. I think that's the main thing we got to just focus on. But yeah, definitely. But also just making shots in general. That's also another big one, you know, because, you know, we've been struggling a little bit. You know, our field goal percentage is not as high as we want them to be, especially our 3-point percentage is not as high as we want it to be. So we're going to just really focus on making shots and then just running our plays harder.
Adam, I really like Kerwin Walton. Really like him. I hope Kerwin Walton is here for however long he wants to be here and is awesome the whole time, because he's awesome right now.
I got to ask you, in all the time that you've been talking about Kerwin Walton or even thinking about Kerwin Walton, prior to knowing that people called him Kerweenie, had that even crossed your mind?
No.
But he said that people had been doing it all the way back to middle school.
He acted like it was one of the most normal things that could occur to him.
Kids are jerks. Yeah. I remember the first time I ever heard about Kerwin Walton, the old sharpshooter from Minnesota.
Yeah.
I didn't think, Kerweenie.
No. All right, Adam. Do you have a list?
I do, and it is of the Little Sebastian variety.
What's on the top of Adam's list?
Up in horsey heaven, here's a thing.
Brought to you by Top of the Hill.
You trade your legs for angels' wings.
Where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
And once we've all said goodbye.
Okay.
Take a running leap and you learn to fly.
Wanted to mention a couple things people have sent us that were on the video pod yesterday because they were best suited to that format. And we know that we've got to deploy things in the most effective way.
Yeah.
Chris Furr sent us a great picture of Big Grits.
Oh.
And that was on the See You Later Big Grits at the end of the video pod.
It was like Big Grits had gone to the mall in like 1990 and said, I would like a glamour headshot, please. And if you could maybe, you know, give me some like blurriness around the edge, maybe some hot colors like pink and green. And you know what I mean?
It could have been his senior yearbook photo.
Yeah.
In high school, not in college.
Like maybe went to like JCPenney or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And they had all the different backdrops.
You know why JCPenney's coming at him? Because of me.
JCPenney is coming here because of me. You ask anybody, they'll tell you.
Another one. We had a lot of debate about how to pronounce this. Ryan Monster? That seems really cool, but it might be Munster.
Adam? They're the Monstars.
Pipsqueaks just turned into superstars. They're monsters. Fufferin' succotash. They're Monstars.
I have Adam, I'm on fire right now. Watch out.
Ryan
like Kerweenie when he gets hot from beyond the arc.
Ryan sent us pictures of the golf cabinet that he just randomly up and made over Christmas.
That actually was really, really cool. Ryan, please make me a golf cabinet. I will not pay you for it, but I will thank you heartily.
You could use it to store your stuff when you're not playing at the cradle.
I'm serious. I would love one of those. Maybe I'd pay you for it, Ryan.
Certainly the amount that it would be worth, absolutely, with your time and labor and materials.
Yeah, it really does look cool. So if you missed the video pod, didn't do a good job promoting the video pod this week, but it was on. We're back in our Thursday 1 o'clock streaming format. We'll be there through March, and so check it out. And Ryan's golf cabinet was on there, and it was really cool.
Ryan, think of all the free enjoyment you've gotten from the pod. Yeah. And maybe we can make an exchange. Jim Morris sent us a tweet, and I've got to say I'm not sure I appreciated his phrasing.
Is this former Miami head baseball coach Jim Morris?
No, I don't believe so. Jim wanted to know, in his words, if he had to listen to the Orange Bowl preview pod in order to be in the 100% club because the Orange Bowl is technically now over.
Yeah. It was like, do I have to do this?
You get to.
I will say, I really thought that was a good show. I mean, I just thought it had a lot of, and now we sent out the audio of it. Of course, it was streamed as well. I mean, it's better suited for the video side of things simply because, you know, part of it was a highlight video. Part of it was Matt Merletti breaking down some plays. So, of course, you need the video aspect to fully appreciate that. I thought that was a really good show to get you ready for the game. There was a lot of football talk. There was a lot of just kind of general Tar Heel discussion. Brian Simmons was awesome, as he always is. So, yes, you do get to, if you would like to, you do get to watch and or listen. And it's still available to watch as well.
Well, what's your ruling? Does it need to be consumed in some way to be in the 100% club?
I think I would say that we'd prefer it to be that way. And I would strongly encourage you to watch it if you have time. Now, I know it's, of course, obviously the audio version is easier when you're on the go. But if you have the opportunity, again, I thought it was cool.
And that reminds me that on Saturday, there'll be something similar after the Clemson game. It'll be post-game, not pre-game.
Yeah, Adam, what a year for us to try to do a Rapid Reactions video pod after basketball games when there's only been one home game where you and I have both been there. That was the very first game of the season. And so it has just been such a weird year schedule-wise to this point. There was a lot of football crossover there that happened to work with home games. I mean, it was all very clunky. You know, now that football is over, our goal is and our hope is that, you know, that if the schedule gets played at least close to how it is laid out, that we'll be with you there after every home game for a video Rapid Reactions pod that we will also send the audio out on the podcast channel here on the Carolina Insider. So that's the goal, and it's like our New Year's resolution, Adam, to do these after home games. We dabbled in it at the end of last year, but then when the holidays came, we just ate a little too much, had a little too much spirit. But now we're getting serious in 2021.
And you can find it on Go Heels Facebook or Go Heels Twitter. The highlight is not really Jones and me, kind of like these podcasts. CB McGrath will be on there breaking down the game.
It's the other person that's right. Always the best.
Yeah, on the chalkboard, and he does a great job of that, as you would expect. So it's nice to be able to get his perspective. If the Tar Heels win, we'll talk to a player and some other stuff as well. But a fun way to get all Carolina-centric review of the game.
Hey, before you continue, Adam, Harris Teeter's assisting you with groceries this basketball season. Each week, one winner will receive free groceries for every assist through the Big Four Grocery Assist Sweepstakes. Visit harristeeter.com. Look for the Grocery Assist Sweepstakes section to enter.
Last thing on the Lil Sebastian list. I don't think we've read this email already. I feel like I'd remember it. Tyler Newman said, it is 7:04 a.m., and some man is sitting in the carpool line at an elementary school blasting Friday in his car at the request of his 7-year-old. That man is me. Because thanks to your podcast, we listen to that fine ditty every Friday, perhaps more than once. So Tyler and your 7-year-old, happy Friday. Hope you were able to listen to it in the carpool lane this morning.
Adam, a couple of other things to supplement your little Sebastian list. We just recently received this tweet from Terrell Joy, who we have met. Mm-hmm. And Terrell says he just found out that these existed. And we'll tell you what it is in a second. He said, I'm only on the third pack and I already have and it's already a treasure trove. Adam, it's the old Coca-Cola Carolina basketball like trading cards. And Terrell shows us that he already has Eddie Fogler, former podcast.
Well, I'm very honored to be able to say, see you later, Big Grits. This is Eddie Fogler.
Coach Smith, Walter Davis, podcast.
I'm Walter Davis, and I'll see you later, Big Grits.
Charlie Scott, Dick Grubar. Look, we know there's history there. One day a podcast. Phil Ford, podcast.
I'm Phil Ford. Big E, Big Grits, thanks for coming to Carolina.
Bobby Jones, Larry Miller, podcast.
I'm Larry Miller. See you later, Big Grits.
So he's already bringing in some good ones. And Adam, I mean, you and I are both of the age that I bet you had a lot of those because I certainly did.
Absolutely. You could get them at maybe like Car Drugs.
Yeah.
Maybe Eckerd. And get a couple packs. They were in the clear packs. And so sometimes you could see who was on top. So you might see like a Michael Jordan on top, like, ooh, I'm going to get that pack.
I remember, like, there's some of them that, like, there's like the Smith Center had a card and Carmichael.
Yeah.
And then I think it would be like cheerleaders or like Spirit Squad, it said, or something like that.
This will show. I think we'll probably use this tweet on the video pod next week because this is something people love to see. But this will show you how big of a nerd I am if you didn't already know the answer to that question. I used to bring the Coke Carolina cards of people I thought might be at the games.
Ooh.
I'd bring them to the games, like especially All-Star Weekend. That was a big one because a lot of the Tar Heels in the NBA would come back if they weren't playing in the All-Star game. So I'd bring them in like a carefully, securely fastened envelope or something, and I'd have them just right there. And then if I saw, say, Bobby Jones walking around the concourse, I'd be on him like white on rice to get that autograph.
Did you, Adam, you, just knowing you, did you have the full set of these Coca-Cola cards?
Come on, Jones. I had the full set. I also have the uncut sheet. They also came in uncut sheet form.
How did these come about? Do we know? Well, like, why did they start?
Well, there were also NC State cards.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't think there were Duke cards because this was still pre-Duke. This was mid-late 80s. And Duke hadn't really taken off yet, what I like to call the glory days.
Right.
But I'm 99% sure there were also NC State cards.
Hmm.
But you just bought them at the drugstore with your, you know, your Tops and your Donruss and your Fleer. Yeah. And then there was Coca-Cola Carolina cards.
Yeah.
They should bring those back.
I enjoyed them when I was a tyke.
Cards are hot right now.
Are they?
What if there was a card for the pod?
What would it look like?
We'd have the pod.
Yeah, we'd have our caricatures on there.
Yeah, a caricature.
Malik Monk needs to eat some ramen. So, Rusty Cotterman sent me this, Adam. He said, the official, and then in parentheses, maybe, shirt of the cradle has a picture of the Holes 4-9 beverage palace. Rusty said he and his family debated on sending me one, but figured that I'd rather just come play for myself. Because let me tell you, there is some chatter, Adam, about sending a listener to Myrtle Beach. No. There is some chatter about going to Pinehurst and doing something at some point. I'm just gonna leave it there. So you better get your game ready, Adam.
Who going to Pinehurst?
Just saying, Adam.
You could get your clubs out of your custom golf cabinet.
Yeah, Ryan.
And wear your shirt.
Ryan, I'm looking at my watch, tapping it right now. Need that cabinet, brah. But Rusty said he'd rather, they debated on sending me one, but he figured I'd rather come play myself and pick it up there. Plus, it is like a reddish pink. And he said he wasn't sure if the color was allowed. I only have one red shirt, one. And it is a Ronald McDonald House shirt that I purchased to help the Ronald McDonald House. I remember I did have a red sweater at one point that I tried to wear to like a Christmas thing. Have I said this before? Maybe. Who knows? Listen to old crazy Uncle Jones. So I tried to wear the red sweatshirt or a sweater to like the holiday Christmas lunch one year. This wasn't that long ago, maybe seven years ago. And I just got mercilessly like hounded for wearing this sweater. So I think it's gone. I think I donated it. Somebody got a fine sweater.
John Montgomery just walked by the pod with his dog.
Well.
What in the world?
Yeah. It's all these worlds coming together.
Well, you know who is vehement about not wanting people to wear red is Roy Williams. So I'm always very nervous. Even if there's like a red stripe, I try not to wear it around him.
Yeah, that makes sense. Adam, no big deal. I did a 5.5-hour Twitch stream the other night.
Mm.
I told that to Kerwin. Kerwin wasn't as impressed as I was hoping he would be.
I think he thought maybe, like, he didn't understand you basically ran that whole thing. He thought you were just, like, playing and were like, hey, I'm going to turn on Twitch.
So, I'm going to try my best to explain this, Adam. So, our parent company, you may have heard them, Learfield IMG College, has partnered up with EA Sports.
It's in the game.
And they've got this thing, I think it's called Level Next. And so it's basically their Twitch channel because they're dabbling in esports.
Yeah, or throwing the dab down also, as Adam just did. here in Pod World headquarters.
Goldfeed's going to love that.
Yeah, hey, we have a camera now for the Goldfeed.
I like how it's right at me.
Yeah. Adam just threw the peace sign to it. Stop, Adam. Someone's probably watching you right now doing that. We have another camera in here that the first day or like the first week that it got installed, because I was kind of nervous about it. I was like, I don't know if I want a camera on me at all times. But so it was on in here for us to do the Mac Brown radio show the way that was happening. And Jason Freeman, who's the equipment manager from football, called me one afternoon. He was like, hey, I'm just letting you know that I'm watching you right now on all the screens here at football. You're at your desk. I just wanted to make sure you knew that. That's when I knew it was time to start blocking the cameras, Adam, when they weren't in use. Anyway, where was I? Level next. So they've done this. They've done since November this college Madden tournament, right? And so they've gotten to the point now where this week they're in the conference semifinals and championships. And then, like, the top, whoever plays for the championship in each conference is going to go on to the national finals, which is played here in the next week or so. And the winner's going to get $150,000, Adam. $150,000.
For playing Madden.
Well, for winning at Madden. But yes, for playing Madden, Adam. And so they asked me to come be a guest commentator.
We need someone who knows how to shoot with the stick.
Right.
Find Jones.
Yeah. They asked me to come be the guest commentator for the ACC semifinals and championship and the Big Ten semifinals and championship, which occurred on Wednesday night of this week. And so, Adam, I got to say, I don't know if nervous is the right term, but I kind of went into it not 100% knowing what I was doing. Obviously, I don't live in that world necessarily. I have a son, as you know, and so we play games, but I'm not on Twitch often. And I got to say, I had a good time. Josh Lewin, who's been a play-by-play guy for a lot of different, he's at UCLA, he's done the Chargers. I mean, he's done a lot of different things in the play-by-play world. He's kind of the play-by-play guy and lead broadcaster of the game action. A dude named Puckett's kind of the, which seems like a perfect name for Twitch to me. Puckett is like the host of the whole deal. I mean, he's got 230,000 followers on Twitter, so they know him. And a great dude, by the way. I feel like Puckett and I could be guys. And then there was the Madden expert, my guy User, not his real name. But User is like the Madden expert. He plays for the, what I've learned now is each NFL team has like a club Madden team. So he's on the Panthers club team. And so,
which is affiliated with the real Panthers?
I think so. I think so.
So Mick's not doing that anymore.
Not, yeah, right. And so it was me and Josh and User during the game action. And then Puckett would come in for kind of the whole overriding show. And so, Adam, I had fun, but I will say it was a grind. I mean, we 5.5 hours, we had 3 5-minute commercial breaks in 5.5 hours, and that was it. And I gotta tell you, dude, I was tired by the end. I would say my words per minute dropped dramatically from hour one to hour five. But props to those guys for being able to do that, because that's not the only one they're doing. I mean, they had done one on Monday. I think they have another session this weekend coming up. So props to them for what they're doing. If you are into that kind of thing, definitely check it out. Again, it's called Level Next. I mean, mine's up there archived, but I mean, there's also new content coming out too. And it's something that is being looked at real heavily from the Learfield IMG side to see how to continue to grow that. I use the word sport. I know some people will not agree with that, but I think that is a sport or an activity that is continuing to grow, maybe not in the mainstream consciousness, but it definitely has a big following in the world. I mean, just on in the online community. But it was wild. And watching these guys play, like, It's crazy how good they, and these weren't even like the, there are a couple dudes who are like the really high level players, like some club champions and pros and guys who have won tournaments, but most of them weren't that, but they were still crazy good players. I learned a lot too. Like a good pass item, that's a dot. It's a dot. You just playing, you just basically, you're not playing with a Madden Ultimate team, a mutt. Instead, you're playing with just a regular game, that's regs. Like, I'm all in it now.
Twitching ain't easy.
It really isn't. Dude, I'm telling you, I was gassed by the end of the night. Gassed.
I think it'd be impossible for me to say anything else that didn't make me sound like I was 80.
Well, it was, yeah. It is a different world than I live in, but it's an interesting world. And now I couldn't see the chat. I may have been getting torched in the chat. That's, I don't know. I'm nervous to go back and look at the Twitch like replay in case they were just absolutely roasting me in the chat, which could have happened because I couldn't see it. Mm. I mean, I think there's probably a way I could have seen it, but come on. I mean, I'm not that.
You don't have time for that.
No. Yeah, you don't want to get, don't get F's in the chat, Adam. You don't want to get burned in the chat.
You don't want to be ripping the chat.
No. So, no big deal. 5.5 hour Twitch stream. I'm basically like Nick Merckx or Tim the Tat Man now. Those are really popular Twitch streamers, Adam. No big deal.
I feel like, I'm not sure. Would I rather be the more like the host, or would I rather be the player? I mean, if you're the player, you only get to play one game. You might be out.
Well, yeah, well, it shows what you know. This is best 2 out of 3 every round, Adam. So we did, what did I say, 13 games in 5.5 hours? 12 of them were Green Bay against Tampa Bay. The teams they chose.
Right. So you can choose any team.
Yes.
What if in my best 2 out of 3, if I choose Tampa Bay for game 1, can I be somebody different for game 2?
Well, inevitably, but I think they did a coin toss. So you knew, so like, for example, we knew we were playing at least 2 games. So I would pick Green Bay, and then you would pick Tampa Bay, let's say. And then for game 2, you'd get to pick first, and then you'd just pick the other one, and I'd pick the other one. Because I guess apparently on regs in Madden 21, those are the best 2 to play with, apparently. So that's just a little Madden advice from Jones. If you're playing regs, go with the Packers or the Bucks due to the quarterback play and the speed of the defense. Your defenses might not be the highest rated on the game, but don't let that fool you. You want the speed. That's what User told me. User told me you need speed on defense.
Just like Mac Brown. That's what Mac Brown says.
User and Mac Brown, both the same formula for defensive success.
This segment was brought to you by the Nintendo Power Glove.
My guy User's a big Tario fan.
Might be a future pod guest plays his cards right.
I'm serious.
I would like to talk with him just to find out how his world developed that way.
Yeah. Adam, it's fast. I mean, some of it's really interesting. Like, he said during this Twitch stream that a couple years ago things changed where, you know, for a while it was just like you just play a lot. He said now guys like scout who they're playing. They watch film. They self-scout themselves. I mean, it is people's job. That some people, that's what they do. And so I know, I mean, it's foreign to me. It's foreign to you. I'm guessing it's foreign to a lot of people listening. But it is a whole universe out there. And it's lucrative. I mean, we're talking like the top guys. But, I mean, they make incredible money at a young age. It's wild. So, kids, don't go outside and play. Get your stick work down. I did some play-by-play of the game itself. That was weird. But it was fun. Again, had a good time doing it. By the end, like, 2 big plays at the end, my voice was, like, done and, like, fried. And, like, I was like, touchdown. But I was like, I can't even. It's 5.5 hours.
I was sad to hear the Carolina guy didn't win.
No, yeah. He was in the Final Four, but he went out 2-0. Rage quit, unfortunately.
That's not the way to do it.
Yeah. Hey, you know what is the way to do it? Go to Pinehurst. We already talked about the Cradle. But there's also the North and South Bar. There's the Pinehurst Brewing Company. There is, of course, Donald Ross's masterpiece, number 2. Gil Hance's stunning redesign of number 4. Go to Pinehurst.com and plan your visit today. Adam, do you, sir, have anything else?
No.
Okay. So, Carolina-Clemson, Saturday at 7 o'clock. That game time had been bandied about a bit, but it has been locked in at 7. We'll be on at 6 radio-wise for that one. This will be just the second game I've done in the Smith Center. I'm looking forward to it. Then rapid reactions pod afterwards. So who knows? Maybe you're just getting loose on Saturday night watching the Tar Heels, then hang out with us afterwards. Rapid reactions pod. We will push out the audio here on the Carolina Insider channel, but again, you can watch the show streaming after the game on Saturday. Then we're back next week for our regular rotation of Tuesday, Friday, plus Roy Williams show on Tuesday as well. We're in it. We're in the rotation here until the end of the basketball season, so buckle up. But for now, we're going to let Mr. Muffintop, a.k.a. Kerwin Walton, a.k.a. Say it, Adam. It's fun.
Kerweenie.
It's fun, isn't it? And the RZA. Get us out of here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
I'm Kerwin Walton. See you later, Big Grit.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
See you later, Big Grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.